This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy it or forward it if it's helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
So, I have a few things to show you this morning. Just to give you a little glimpse into the world of Anne. We'll come back to them later. Don't worry too much about them. Walking poles. Going to try not to trip myself up as well. Extra hot chili sauce. I like how that one got a giggle. And last but not least, let's leave this over here. A very old t-shirt. For those of you with good eyesight, they're leaning forward on the front row. Glastonbury Festival. So we'll come back to that in a minute. All will become clear. Or in a few minutes, if you stay with me. But there are things about our life experiences which can, don't have to, but can become things that define us. Shape us. Things we bond over. Perhaps the chili sauce one. They build relationships. They can connect us with other people far faster than we might expect, as we feel like people can understand us. Or we have a shared interest. On the flip side, where those are missing, we can risk feeling shunned or left out. We can feel misunderstood or perhaps just invisible. Now, perhaps you have no idea what Glastonbury Festival is. You don't understand why I'd be thrilled about some chili sauce. And you have no idea what those poles would be used for. So I may have inadvertently polarised some people in the room against me at the very start of my talk. Perhaps a foolish thing to do, you might say. Whereas some others might be thinking, yeah, fancy some of that chili sauce. That would go nicely with my lunch later. You could be anywhere on the spectrum. But let me encourage you. These are just a few things I've brought with me today. I could have brought countless things with me. And I expect there would be many. I could have brought my Bible to show you. And that would have instantly given me a connection point with many of you in the room. Perhaps not all, or many of you online, just exploring faith and the Bible. But today we're here because we have a shared desire to learn more about the Bible, to learn more about Jesus, to worship together as we've just done, and to pray for each other. And you may not engage with all of those things, maybe just one or two, but you're very welcome here, wherever you are, and whichever part you're looking out for. We're going to come back to the idea of being known in a little bit, but first we are going to dive into Hebrews. Now I feel like David in his introduction to communion reminded me of why I've been wrestling with Hebrews. It's not easy. It's a bit of a challenge. But we're going to go there today. And as Alex said, we're reading through Hebrews in our Lent reading plan. And if you'd like to join in with that, I'd really encourage you to do so. I'm hoping it's an encouragement that I am not very good at doing it every day. I'm very good at kind of keeping on top of a week, but not doing the daily reading. That might just be how I'm wired. But I am currently up to date. Maybe don't ask me on Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday. Ask me again next Sunday if I'm still up to date. That'd be good accountability. And if you are reading through the passage I'm looking at in Hebrews 2, you'll probably have read about a week ago, or in the last few days if you've just been trying to catch up. So I'm going to remind us just of the context we find ourselves in Hebrews. And then we're going to look at two sections from Hebrews 2. And then we'll wrap up. We'll pray for each other. We'll have a chance to listen out to what God might be saying to us and a chance to respond to that. But today, much of what I'm going to say is going to be framed around three questions, which are, do you see Jesus? Do you notice Jesus? And where is Jesus in your life? Now, I really don't claim to have all of the answers, or many of the answers even, and I don't want to tell you what to think, but I do want to encourage you and all of us to take some time to think about these questions. So, on to Hebrews. And just a general introduction, which Helen started last week, and I'm going to build a bit on, and if you weren't here, I'll just take a moment to remind you. But I think there's a whole load in Hebrews which we miss because we're not the original audience of this letter. And I think unless we take time to just slow down, to dwell on these things, to consider them, and chew over them, then we miss out on all that there is for us in these verses. So I've got three things I've learned so far about Hebrews and the context I'm going to set for you. So it's thought to have been written to a group of Jewish Christians who may have been wondering whether they stayed following Jesus or not. I think maybe it just got too hard. They were being persecuted. Maybe they were thinking about going back to Judaism and leaving Jesus. And as you read through Hebrews, I'd encourage you to look out for and notice this theme of extolling Jesus, of encouraging us to look to Jesus, just in all the chapters in the book. Just keep looking out for that call back to Jesus. And as Helen said last week, these Jewish Christians would have known their Bibles inside and out. And in a minute, I'm going to give you a challenge, an opportunity even, to demonstrate to me your amazing Bible knowledge and just to spot some links to some Old Testament verses. My question to myself is, have I become too complacent in memorizing or reading the Bible? I don't know about you, I can recite endless worship lyrics, but actual Bible verses and references is a real challenge at times. And my third thing on context is the angels. The references to angels in Hebrews are significant. And I'm not sure that we, maybe it's just me, grasp really how significant they are. Now, angels through the Old Testament, they're often storytellers. They give the law, they're authoritative, they send a message, they deliver news, they're the way that God speaks and reveals himself to mankind. But yet the author of Hebrews is telling us that Jesus carries even more authority than these angels. I don't know about you, who are the authority figures in your life? Who do you listen to? So on a good day in our house, I've got three children. If mum says comes at the beginning of a sentence, then people follow instructions. I'm not sure how many good days there are compared to bad days. So that's a little bit of context to Hebrews, just to get you thinking. And as we read through these verses, I'd really encourage you to try and hold some of those things in your mind and listen out for them. We're going to be reading from Hebrews 2, verses 5 to 11, if you want to find that and follow along. But I will be looking at it in two parts. So we'll look at verses 5 to 8, and then we will look at verses 9 to 11 afterwards. There is so, so much in here. And what I'm really hoping for this morning is just to engage your curiosity and to just encourage you to think a little bit more about these verses, maybe on your own, maybe in your small groups this week. So this is where you get to show off your Bible knowledge to me. I'm just going to see how familiar you are with your Old Testament. So as I read these passages out, if you spot a reference you think could be an Old Testament reference, will you just wave at me? I'm not going to quiz you, unless you would like me to. If I get a very keen, ask me. If you're watching online, you can maybe pop something in the chat if you spot it as well. But starting from verse number 5, and I'll warn you now that you might spot things that I've not noticed. So if I give you a blank look, it doesn't mean it's not there. It just means that's not the one I'm looking out for. So, is it not to angels that he has subjected the world to come, about which we are speaking? But there is a place where someone has testified. What is mankind that you are mindful of them? A son of man, that you care for him. You made them a little lower than the angels. You crowned them with glory and honor and put everything under their feet. In putting everything under them, God left nothing that is not subject to them. Yet at present, we do not see everything subject to them. I had a little wave. I had a few waves. Does anyone want to call out where you think it was? Excellent. Psalm 8. That's the one I was looking for. Yeah. What is mankind that you're mindful of him, a son of man that you care for him? And that was Psalm 8, 4 to 9, which was written somewhere. I don't know that specific psalm, but the psalms were written between 1400 and 400 BC. And we're harking back to that, and we're placing back in that. And for the audience reading Hebrews, they would have gone, hang on, I know this one. These are not someone's original words. This is quoting of the Psalms. So Psalm 8, 4 to 9 says, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them. You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. Now in there's another Old Testament reference. It's not a direct quote. I've got a few nods. Anyone brave enough to shout out where it's from? Genesis. Genesis chapter 1, in fact, the creation story. It's the referring to the different days of creation. And it's like there's layer upon layer upon layer in here, but it takes time to find it and to go back to it and refer back to the other bits that are being quoted here. So again, I told you I can do this with worship songs. Apparently I can do this with non-worship songs too. So sometimes songs come on the radio that are covers of or re-releases of old versions. And we, those of us who know the original, recognise the original in the modern. So recently, in 2016, Jonas Blue released a song called Fast Car. Some of you might... I'm not going to sing it. No, I'm not going to sing it. But my children were born in Generation Z and Generation Alpha, which makes them small. And they thought that this was a completely new song. Of course they did. They'd not heard the original. I, however, recognised it as being from 1988, Tracy Chapman. And I was, instantly, I had Tracy Chapman in my head, and they thought I was crazy for knowing where it came from. And so in the same way, that's just a little glimpse into how I wonder if the Hebrew audience recognised these words in Hebrews, recognised this letter in a different way. It was familiar. So our author is setting some context here in verses 5 to 8. It's an introduction. It feels like it's a build-up towards verse 9, which is where we're going to spend most of our time this morning, where suddenly Jesus enters into the mix. And if we follow back these verses, we can see that the Bible narrative, from its very starting point in Genesis 1, speaks of humankind ruling over nature as part of the creation story. And then we have Psalm 8, which repeats this refrain. And now in Hebrews, we build into a place where Jesus comes into the picture. Jesus, who, like us, was a human and walked the earth for a little while. And let's discover more about Jesus from verse 9. Where it says, but we do see Jesus, who was made lower than the angels for a little while, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. In bringing many sons and daughters to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through what he suffered. Both the one who makes people holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. So I'm going to remind you of those questions that I started with. Do you see Jesus? Do you notice Jesus? And what do you notice about Jesus in this passage? Have you ever stopped and considered what it must have been like for Jesus to become fully human? To experience pain, separation, limitations and disappointment, but also to experience the joy of relationships, dynamic encounters with nature, the wind on his face, sand beneath his toes. But what did it cost Jesus to come to earth and suffer death, to bring a way for us to experience eternal life? I'm just going to focus us in on verse 9 now, and we're going to read it again, but a little slower, with that perspective in mind this time. But we do see Jesus, who was made lower than the angels for a little while, now crowned with glory and honour, because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. Do you see Jesus? Do you see the Jesus who's described in this verse? Do you know that Jesus sees you? Jesus sees your disappointment, sees your joy, sees the things you tried to hide from those around you, and loves you all the same. Where do you see Jesus in your life? There are some rare, rare moments in this world where I have felt truly seen. And that's not a criticism of anyone around me. I think that's just the reality of what things are like this side of heaven. They tend to be places of deep, deep pain and shared moments with others who've walked similar journeys. Places where people just know the hurt without me needing to say anything, without the need to explain. And in those painful places, I can sense Jesus with me. And I can feel seen if I will just take the time to lift my eyes out of the hard things and to fix my gaze upon Jesus again. To notice him noticing me. To notice his care for me in those hard, hard places where others just can't grasp what is going on. Jesus knows and he sees. Now there are more places where I feel understood. The people get me and can easily relate to those around me in a way that makes me feel noticed and part of something. And we started with some things that I held up, which some of you hopefully will have related to. So this chili sauce, I know some of you in the room will know and love this chili sauce. I grew up in Singapore with a Chinese heritage, a Chinese grandmother. And so when talking to other third cultural kids, and if you're one, you'll know what that means, there's a shared love of food and feasting. Enough with these English sandwiches. See, some of you know what that means. Our international picnic every October is a huge celebration for me. Of that sense, there's more to me than my English freckles. These walking poles. Now, these. So, for many years now, I've experienced quite a lot of pain when walking. And so I now heavily rely on these when I'm walking on uneven ground. And those who've been on a walk with me will know that these are very useful for holding back brambles, poking things that are uncertain, checking your stone steady, but also they are the only way for me to get up and down the hills on Ilkley Moor these days. And people have learnt to adapt to my pace, my ability, but also to read my face, and when I'm no longer able to mask the pain, to tell me to slow down and to find a different way, to challenge my stubbornness. And then the last one I brought. Glastonbury, 2003. Was anyone there? Some of you weren't born. But look, I'm doing my part for the environment. I still wear this, much to my children's horror. You've watched it? I have washed it many, many times. Yeah, it is quite clean. It's also still fits, which I think is a bonus. Anyway, 2003. So I just love music, especially live music. And the highlight of that was being in the dance tent, but realizing, having a moment where I realized my heart rate was the same as the bass coming out the speaker that was taller than me, that I was stood in front of, and that this wasn't a good situation for life as I knew it carrying on, and having to remove myself from the tent to allow my heart rate to slow to a normal rhythm. Anyway, I love music. I love live music. I love the immersive experience of it, where you can just get lost in it. We all have places where we feel understood and known. Those common grounds where we have things we can relate to. And maybe it's not those three, or maybe it is. I could go on all morning, but there are places where we find people we can connect with. There are places in church where we connect with people over a love of Jesus, and you look around and go, there is nowhere else that I would find myself in a group with this level of diversity and this level of life experience. It's such a beautiful, beautiful thing. Not without its challenges, I'd say, but there is beauty in that shared coming together to follow and know and love Jesus. So where do you see Jesus in your life? Maybe you've got places of pain and hurt. And will you notice? Will you look up and let Jesus show you himself in those places? Or maybe you're celebrating. Jesus loved a good party. Will you let Jesus see you in those places? Where are the connection points? Where's the shared love of doing something together? And where's the joy that comes from that? Many of you may have been to Vineyard House, and there's small groups joining in with what's going on there. But there's like a shared coming together of doing something, of radical change in a space where we're working together for the same thing. I know there's groups who have been for pub quizzes and crafting, and there's all sorts of things going on. But if there's a space where you can draw people in, let's do it. Let's get some energy going for that. But let's go back to my first question. Do you see Jesus? Now, I've read this passage I don't know how many times in my life, and I can just kind of read it and nod and think I've understood it. And yet, the more I've read it as I prepared for today, the more I'm not really sure that I do understand it. I'm not sure that I can understand it, or that I'm really meant to understand it. I feel like I've gone slightly backwards over the last few weeks, where the more I've read verse 9 in particular, the more I felt just unraveled by it all. The more I read it and I've tried to study it, the more overwhelming and completely mind-blowing I find it. I can feel like I'm starting to see Jesus, to truly see Jesus, to appreciate the completely undeserved gift of his grace. The more I see patience and kindness in Jesus, and I wonder at his obedience and self-control in coming to earth. I see more grace and mercy and compassion in Jesus, and then I recognize the complete gap of those things in my own life. It's like I see Jesus and then I don't see Jesus. It gets a bit more in focus, and then I wonder at how out of focus the whole big picture is. I think there might be some people who don't know Jesus at all here this morning, so I'm just going to explain a bit about what I mean. So as Christians, we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, born to a human mother by a divine, miraculous moment which can only really be explained by the power of God, the only true source of life and creation in our universe. And this passage articulates for us how Jesus was made a little lower than the angels when he was born a child on earth. Jesus as a human set aside his power. In Philippians 2:6-7, the NIV describes it as made himself nothing. Or I quite liked the ESV translation, which says he emptied himself. What would that have been like? A dim version of his normal? Like seeing in black and white and not colour? Perhaps the closest I can get in my own experience is experiencing long-term fatigue when you're just used to high energy levels. I don't really know what comparison is appropriate and not just irreverent to what Jesus did. And then Jesus suffered death. But that description, again, doesn't really scratch the surface. Jesus, who had done nothing wrong, was subjected to humiliating torture for us, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone and remove the finality of death from all who choose to follow him. And that is the message of Easter. That is what we are wrestling with through Lent, trying to grasp for ourselves what Jesus did that first Easter. That anyone who chooses to believe in Jesus is free from the finality of death. If you like, is handed an invitation to heaven. It's on the guest list. It's expected. And if you're here and you'd like to respond to that invitation, that invite to heaven to know Jesus forever, there'll be a chance to do that in just a moment. Or perhaps you've responded in your heart and your mind, but you've never actually stood up and made that declaration for yourself. And as Alex said, we'll be having a baptism service in March. And I'd love to invite you to make that public response then. And do come talk to me at the end and I'll introduce you to those you need to see about making that happen. Next week, we'll have our invitations for our Easter services available to take away, all being well, with printers and the logistics of it all, postage. But who do you know who needs an invitation to those events as a stepping stone to an invitation to a relationship with Jesus? Maybe this week you could pray about who you'll invite, who you want to share the good news of Jesus with. So this morning we've been looking at Hebrews 2. About Jesus becoming fully human, and I may have left you with more questions than you had at the beginning. But that's okay. It's good for us to wrestle with these things for ourselves. So you've been sat for a little while now, so let me invite those of you who are able to stand, and we'll just begin to respond. Alex and Lizzie, would you like to join me? So do you see Jesus? Do you notice this Jesus who loves you so much looking at you? Where do you see Jesus in your life? I felt there were a few people that it would be good to, a few groups of people it would be good to pray for this morning. And I'll just introduce those and then we will ask these guys if they've got anything and we will and then we'll say goodbye to those watching online in a bit, not just yet. So there are a couple of groups of people. I think there are some people who feel unseen. They don't feel noticed. And if that's you, I'd love to pray for you. And I think there are also some people who realise they haven't really noticed Jesus before. Maybe you've read about Jesus, heard about Jesus, grown up in church, but you've never really stopped to think about who Jesus is. And then, as always, in a gathered group of people, I think there were some who were journeying through some really painful things this morning and just need to know that Jesus sees you and to receive that gift of his gaze. Let's see what these guys have got.
Yeah, I received word when we were singing earlier, but I didn't want to get up and share, but I didn't know that what Sally, was going to share is kind of covering what I had. Because when we were singing, God drew my attention on the word hope. And the message I got at that moment is, I'm good all the time. And I know it's somewhere in the Bible. God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. I'm good all the time. And what I received for this, some people, and it's women, more than one woman, that is going through a really difficult time. And she's wondering if she's going to see light at the end of it. And God was showing to me hope. I'm good all the time. I'm not good most of the time. I'm not good sometimes. I'm good all the time. To focus on who he is. Take your eyes off the situation and see his hope in his goodness. So focus on good, on God who is good all the time. And regardless of what is happening at the moment, we seem to be bringing you down. Lift your eyes to God and know that in that situation, good will come out of it. Not because of what you've done, but because God is good all the time. Not sometime, not most time, but all the time. And as Anne was preaching, I said, that's the word I've got. Because where do you see Jesus? Do you see Jesus in your problem? If you seek to see Jesus in that problem, keep your eyes on the hope and the fact that it's good. And that will get you through that. And it's for more than one woman in the church. Yeah, that's the one I got.
Yeah, Sinclair actually used the language that I was thinking about. I just saw a picture of someone who's down and downhearted, and they have their kind of chin glued to their chest. As they were talking about Jesus seeing you, and just an invitation just to lift your head and look into the eyes of Jesus in the kind of metaphor. There's something powerful about that lifting when we're not worthy, when we feel down about ourselves or just downtrodden by life, the power of lifting your head, the invitation of love to see Jesus and meet him face to face in all that's going on. If that's you, we'd love to pray for you in a few minutes. Anything from you?
And with the Jesus sees you, I had a picture of like a mask, like this kind of external image of yourself that we all, to some extent, project and, you know, the kind of visible parts of ourselves. And actually, Jesus sees that, but I had a picture of me taking off that mask. Like, Jesus sees the darkness and the pain and the hurt and the kind of unfiltered you, the version of you that you don't always let other people see. That's the bit of you that Jesus sees as well. And sometimes it's hard to be that vulnerable and take that mask off in front of him and let him see those bits of you that you might not yourself want to acknowledge, but actually those are the bits that Jesus sees too.
Yes, Anne was talking about, do you know that Jesus sees you? I had this song in my heart, I'm the God who sees. And I've done a little skit on that song, just the first part of Hagar. And this verse from Genesis 16:13, it says, you are the God who sees me. I have now seen the one who sees me. And she called him El Roy. So my life has been beautiful. God has changed me, because there was a time when I thought, do you see me? Because my life is completely broken now. And now I know that he saw me and my life completely changed. You know, I just wanted to encourage whoever is feeling like, God, do you see me? You know, does anyone see me? But I assure you that he does, and you will see it very soon.
Thanks.
Amazing. Thank you. We're just going to say goodbye to those watching online. But if you're watching online and this has resonated with you, please do reach out, come next week. We'd love to see you, or head to your small groups and get some prayer there. So let's just respond. If any of those things have resonated with you, why don't you close your eyes if you're able to, and maybe hold your hands out just to show that you are receiving and engaging with what God is doing this morning. And let me pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Come and make yourself known in this place. Sometimes we invite people to step forward, but I think today we're just going to ask if you are somewhere and there's someone engaged with what God is doing, just look around and pray and continue to pray. God, we ask that people might be known, that they would know that you see them here. That you notice them. That they don't journey into painful places alone, but that they go with you there, with you before them. And this morning we pray for a pouring out of hope. Holy Spirit, release your hope in this room. If you're part of a small group here and you're not currently engaging with God personally, please would you look around and go and find someone who you just ask their permission to pray for them. Bless what God is doing in their lives. They don't need to share details with you unless they want to, but let's just not miss an opportunity this morning. If you'd like someone to come pray for me, why don't you just give me a little wave if you'd like to be prayed for. If this is unfamiliar to you, this is just a moment where we just stop in the midst of the busyness of life and let God speak. And the stillness in this room is testament to that and what God is doing. So you're going to have another minute's calmness. But I'm going to release the parents of those in Vineyard Kids to go and collect their children. And those who are praying can just continue for a minute. But thank you for coming to Leeds Vineyard this morning. It's been nice to see you here. And we'll hope to see you next Sunday.